Simon! He shoots, he scores! Oh! One for one!
That is going wild! Score!
The hockey guys are on the air.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
The hockey guys. The tradition continues.
Okay, guys. Show us what you got.
Hey, cheers, Spence.
Cheers.
This will knock out that
cheers,
COVID.
Cheers, everybody.
This will knock out that COVID.
I heard yes, drinking sir. One of these will kill the COVID virus in your mouth.
I can smell it, and it's gone.
Hey, Jeff, put down your chips.
Well, we're just sorry about that.
Comes in with a, bag, with a bag of chips and a beer for crying out loud.
Yeah,
come
get
on.
That out of your beard, man.
Hey, Spence, I wouldn't talk too much. Eddie's in his rubber boots, and I asked him why he had rubber boots on. He says, you see the girls that Spence has been with lately? Rubber gloves, boots, the whole gig, you know? But check the bottom expiration date.
Yeah.
And there's a 2019.
We're also
yeah, what year are we in?
Well, listen, thank you, hockey fans.
Hey, free beer, don't check the date.
Yes, you check it immediately.
Thank you, hockey fans, for joining the hockey guys this morning. Eddie, Spence, first show of the year.
Where we're all together.
The three knuckleheads are here.
Life is great. Yeah. Standings are looking good.
I'm a little confused. I was locked in a closet at the studio, and I had on my helmet, my snowmobile helmet.
So you're telling us you're coming out of the closet, Ed, or what?
And now I'm missing my helmet, Spence. So something just, it's hard to be in the same room with Jeff without a snowmobile helmet on.
I got to go back to my plane.
Well, I wasn't in that closet with him. Hey, we had a little brief conversation here, Spence. Well, before we get into that, we have some scores this week, Ed.
We have some games?
We have some games.
In the recent picture, this is really a strange Monday, we had Coach Mosquelin from the Little M last Saturday morning. He mentioned he was working on a turnaround. Looks like they came and turned it around okay there for your team, Spence.
They did.
4-1 over Ohio State on Monday night. And Monday night, we also saw the Big Ten looking for TV ratings since nothing else seemed to be on. I think that's because the NFL has some stuff going. Wisconsin over Penn State 6-3. Same two games Tuesday night, Wisconsin over Penn State 7-3. And the little U got by the Ohio State 2-0. So that was the week that was.
I see they canceled the Wednesday game.
Going into last night, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, lots of stuff, moving targets last night in the eastern part of the country. AIC took out Air Force 3-1. Canisius over Robert Morris 5-2. You had RIT, who wasn't going to have a season, and then somehow there was enough of a wave of you can't not do this. They came out, and obviously they were excited. They beat Clarkson for the first time in 8 games. They were 0-7-1. And beat Clarkson 8-5. Boston College is in the top 5 again this year. They're going to be a fun team to watch. They got by University of Massachusetts 4-3. And on the COVID watch, Bemidji State, Minnesota State, it's still on the board. And Holy Cross and Bentley still on the board. So they those games were deferred at the present time. So that was a rundown of the week through last evening, Jeff, in college hockey. So any surprises there?
You know, the only surprise, Ed, we haven't called Cullen insulation yet to put that insulation in my attic in my garage that we finished off last summer. We got to call Cullen insulation. You want the best insulation company in the Midwest? Cullen insulation is your company. You know, I watched, I think it was about 7 days ago, at the Wisconsin-Michigan game, and my thoughts on both those teams are this, is Wisconsin can throw that puck around. They got fast, speedy players. They controlled the play from the dots to the boards. Michigan controlled the play between the dots. And I think when you take a look at Wisconsin, fast, speedy players. Still a young team. They're going to struggle this year unless they can get within the dots and get to the net. I just didn't see that. They had 3-on-3 overtime. Michigan just kept them on the perimeter the whole time. Then eventually Michigan got the puck, went down and scored on a 2-on-1. But
yeah, it's going to.
Michigan's a tough team.
In the Big Ten, and then last night Michigan ended up losing to Notre Dame 3-2. So thanks for bringing that one back on the segue. So that same Michigan team that kind of made a look, and yet in the game of hockey for you, again, Spence, just to make sure the sun's hitting the window wrong so I can't see if you're smiling, but can you share with the group where Minnesota sits in the standings as of today?
I'll have to pull that up here. I'm just looking at the scores.
Pull it down. For our second period guest, while you're looking for that, Spence, Greg Powers from Arizona State University. Here's a success story. Team coming out of club hockey. Coach Powers has turned that program, Arizona State University, into a national powerhouse playing an independent schedule, which we'll talk about that coming into the next period, but they're going to I think struggled to get into the playoffs with everything going on, Ed, and we'll talk more in the second period on this. But let me ask you this. You got the Big Ten doing a we're playing each other along with Arizona State, and we'll do our charter flights. And then you have the NCHC doing the bubble. You know, you've been seeing games canceled in the Big Ten. The question is, Ed, can the NCHC keep COVID out of that bubble and get those games played in Omaha?
Well, I think Colorado College answered that question last week because they reported that they couldn't go into the bubble. So the bubble has already been moved. Yesterday they announced UMD, the Loose game, been rescheduled. So they're still moving parts within the NCHC bubble. I believe they will get everything in. You just have to make sure, as the NHL showed, it can be done if you have zero positive tests. The challenge being one positive test takes away the bubble.
Being disciplined within that system. Well, it's going to be interesting.
Hey, Spence, you know, Jeff's trying to cover for you, but where is that little M at this week?
We are standing behind that one team from the east of us.
Yeah, my father always shared with us when we were growing up that nobody remembers who finished in second.
Hey, first is the worst, second is the best, right? Going to elementary school days. No, but they've played two more games than us, so let's...
Only a Gopher fan would come up with that.
Hey, what's the old saying? You're only remembered for your last game, so the season ends today. You're in what place?
Second place.
Got it, thanks. I know that's tough to throw out all in one sentence for you, but that's good. Thank you for
helping me with that.
Before we get Coach Powers on here in about 5 minutes, if you have any questions, 271-1100, 271-1100, on how a coach can take a club hockey team and turn it into a national powerhouse within a handful of years, you got an opportunity to call in and visit with Coach Powers, because you take a look at a coach who, before he was coaching Arizona State, was actually in almost like human resources, recruiting employees for employers, and got the phone call to come and coach the team. And so that's kind of unique there too. So you don't see that trend like you see in the big programs where the players coming out of the National Hockey League, the big time alum.
And Jeff, if we add to that, He's been there. He spent 6 years as an assistant coach. So if you take a look around what typically transpires in college hockey, I think most head coaches are aspiring, or a lot of head coaches are mentoring. And if you take a look at any given year, the number of coaches that move and try to improve their opportunity to become a head coach. So maybe there's a little story within a story here. With Coach Powers saying, "Hey, I'm committed to Arizona State," and he's now the head coach.
And the administration took the big step to support that program. into the into a new hockey arena being built for that program. And boy, what to be fun, Ed, to be down sitting poolside, going through the playbook, sandy beach right there along the pool.
95 degrees.
Is Jeff, Jeff with the sandy beach in Phoenix? Do we have to take him on a geography tour here?
No. I think, hey, we can sell him a bridge.
I know. The hotels I stay at all have sand in their pools and sandy beaches down there.
I
know it's in the desert.
Hey, I think maybe if we get Jeff to understand that he's taken all of San Diego's future San Diego State Hockey's program recruiting tools, and he's trying to help out Coach Powers.
Yeah. Got a bridge in Brooklyn I can sell you.
Yeah, I bet you do.
It has sand on the deck, doesn't it?
Yep.
Well, Ed, what do you think?
You know, I think the interesting part is that it's begun. And then the question, we'll have some discussion on, give us a call here, 271-1100. Do you think it'll end? Will there be an ending? I know for those of us that are a little bit up the road to the north, 2 years in a row without an ending would be devastating with what they perceive. So I think that's probably the switch now is, you know, what happens within the context. I think the exciting thing is the season started, and when the season starts, it's league play. There's no Manitoba. There's no cross, you know, interconference game to kind of warm up with.
Except for the Big Ten has one team not in the Big Ten playing in their first part of the schedule, Arizona State University.
Arizona State snuck into Michigan. But other than that, as Coach Mosco shared last week, there isn't any chance to try to figure out how you get into the season, because the season is here, and for the NCHC, we're just a few short days away, Jeff.
We'll see how those freshmen perform. We'll see how those old vets on the team coming back, how they play. I tell you what, we'll be back with the hockey guys.
Are you reeling in the years? Stowing away the time.
Welcome back to the hockey guys. Ed? What would you do if an athletic director came to you and said, hey, Ed, we want to start a national program, one of the top best programs in the country for hockey? Will you be our coach?
Are we headed to Morehead State next week or what?
No, I'm going back to Greg Powers. Put my chips down. Going back to Coach Greg Powers for Arizona State University. Welcome to the Hockey Guys this morning.
Guys, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, Coach, thank you. Hopefully you listen to a program when we do the big hitters, because the questions get to be pretty simple and pretty straightforward. So if you did your homework, you'd find out Jeff is going to probably pull a story or two out about you.
Well, no, that's all right. It's he can't say anything that hasn't been said before, trust me.
Well, let's you know, I spent Eddie and I have, for about the last 2 years, I said we're going to have to get Greg Powers on our program, and we've talked about your program, I would say, about every other week for the past two hockey broadcasting seasons. And finally, Ed said, "Hey, give Coach Powers a call. We're going to have to visit with him as to how he built this program from scratch." And it really wasn't from scratch, because he had the club hockey program. How much did that club hockey program assist in developing Arizona State hockey the way it is today, or what influence did that have, Coach?
It had a huge influence. I mean, it there's so many different ways you can start a program, and you know, there are going to be schools, you know, that go to Division One that just like LIU that didn't have a club team. There's going to be schools like us and Penn State that did that. You know, we actually have a rich history of the sport on our campus, and Penn State did as well. It wasn't at the NCAA level, but the success that we, you know, that we had at the club level is the sole reason why all the right people caught the attention of all the right people associated with our university to elevate us to NCAA. So without those kids and their commitment and their buy-in and then the ones that transitioned with us. I kept 16 of those kids in our hybrid year because I just felt like it was the right thing to do. We were there because of them, and they deserved to be a part of this. We knew we'd take our lumps because of it, but it was the right thing to do. And those kids all got to transition us at, into the NCAA level, and it was awesome.
You've been nominated for Coach of the Year in the NCAA the last two seasons. And when you take a look at the start of your coaching in the sponsored program within the Arizona State University, you kind of had an unusual route to the head coaching position.
Yeah, no, I never wanted to coach. I never tried or thought I'd be a hockey coach. I played at ASU for the club team back from 95 to 99, got completely out of hockey. Ended up starting my own executive recruiting firm, and I got pulled back in as a volunteer assistant with the club team. 2 years after that, he had moved on and decided he didn't want to do it. It's just a big commitment with no paycheck. And so I kind of got talked into taking it over and ended up being pretty good at it. And in 5 years as a head coach at that level, we were 169-23. We won a national championship, went to three straight Final Fours at that level, and then obviously when we elevated, I was very fortunate to have an AD that believed in my vision and believed that I could do things for this program and lead this program at the highest level.
Coach, your hometown, Indianapolis, Indiana, you kind of dated yourself, so do you ever go watch that Fairgrounds Indianapolis Ice when you were growing up as a kid?
Oh yeah, like, my high school team. I played at North. I grew up playing for a really good travel youth AAA team, the Racers. Great coach Huey Harris played the WHA for the Racers and the NHL for the Sabres, and we were really good. We had a handful of guys go to Division One, but a bunch of those guys with the Culver. I stayed in Indianapolis with my mom and played for North Central, and that's where we played. Our home ice was at the Fairgrounds, and we had a nice little locker room tucked up the stairwell and saw a ton of Indianapolis Checker games there back in the day, even before the ice. And that facility now is incredible. They renovated it, and it is an unbelievably nice minor league hockey facility. They have the Indianapolis Fuel play there now. So, but yep, live there.
So you experienced what you're doing at Arizona State. I think people look at, because, again, Indianapolis – when you take a look, it necessarily wouldn't have been considered a hockey hotbed, correct?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I think when I was growing up, it was probably at its height, and it's because a lot of those high-end pros retired there. We had a lot of really good coaches. So obviously when you have all these pro guys retiring in a community, and then they coach youth hockey, which a ton of them did, a ton of them. It got really good, and the same thing's happening in Phoenix. Really, you have a lot of NHLers that are retiring there, and the coaching's really good. I mean, you got Shane Doan and Tyson Nash and Derek Morris and Keith Carney and Dave Ellett. They all coach. I mean, it's crazy. You walk into a rink and you see all these great coaches, and kids are the benefactors.
You know, Coach, that's fun that you share that, because when you take a look, we have the pretty infamous squared hockey tournament that's hosted here in the FM area, and that Phoenix team comes in every year, and they're usually in their top bracket, and they're usually in that top semifinal or above. So you get to see exactly what's happening now, which is pretty exciting. The Texas is the Arizona.
My daughter played in that. My son will be at that one this year. So it's I've heard nothing but great things about that event. I wish I could come.
Well, hopefully you can, or at least you can pull it up and watch it on TV. The teams that come in from all over the country, but like Eddie said, teams coming out of Arizona, teams coming out of Vegas, California, and surprisingly, there's some out of Alaska that are pretty darn good. Coach, one of the big stamps of approval that I've seen this year for your program is the invitation to play in the Big Ten in the first part of the season. That had to be really a culmination of starting this program And then getting that opportunity to have your program play in this condensed schedule with the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm talking to you right now, obviously, from Madison. And this is day 16 of this road trip. And we had to agree to play 28 road games this year, you know, and we're making the most of it. You know, it's a crazy world out there right now, obviously, and stressful for these kids across the college athletics landscape. You see so many teams getting paused or seasons canceled. We made a commitment to our kids that we are committed to getting them on the ice and doing whatever it takes to make sure that they have a meaningful season. And, you know, what will that look like playing 28 road games in the win-loss column that's in the end of the year? I don't know. We think we got a really good team, and we haven't even scratched the surface, really, from what we can do on the ice, and hopefully we show that tonight against Wisconsin. But that's really not what it's all about. We wanted to give our kids the chance to play, and this is the best way to do it. We've created a very safe, I guess, bubble, if you will, for them, because we're not going back and forth, and we kind of have our thumb on them, and we're feeding them well at hotels and getting good practices in. And we actually just made the decision yesterday. We were going to go home. So we play Wisconsin today and tomorrow, and then we bust down to South Bend and play Notre Dame next Thursday, Friday. And we were going to go home for 4 or 5 days and then go all the way back out to Penn State. We made the decision. We're just going to go straight to Penn State. The guys want to stay out. They're bonding really well. Spirits are high. And we're just afraid if we go back, you know, something could happen. You know, a kid could get it, and the next thing you know, you got six kids contact traced, and we can't go on the trip. So they want to play. And I think it speaks volumes to how committed our university is to the sport and to our team.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you coming on. We know watching what's happening and seeing schedules, you kind of summed it up for us here. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you coming on early on a Saturday morning. And we'd like to do this. When you go out tonight, you have a win, then we'll have to have you back on next Saturday. You'll consider us your good luck charm.
We're going to have Coach Powers on in about 3 minutes.
I love it.
So hang tight over the break, Coach. I've got about three more questions for you.
Listen, no problem.
You're listening to the Hockey Guys, sponsored by Cullen Insulation. And 1100 the flag. To the Hockey Guys. Coach Greg Powers from Arizona State University. Thanks for hanging in there for that long break. Quick question for you. Taking a look at your roster, you've got players from all over Canada, United States, all different leagues, over in Europe. What kind of player are you taking a look at? What are the characteristics are you looking for in players that you want to play in your team at Arizona State?
Well, I mean, I think you'll hear any coach say, you know, obviously characters first and foremost, you know, somebody that understands the once in a lifetime opportunity of coming to a school like Arizona State, a non-traditional hockey school and building a tradition. That has to mean something to every kid that we talk to and has to resonate, you know, with them and all the guys that are here. It does. They had some really great options and could have gone a lot of different places, but they wanted to come and help build a program and look back in 20 years and, you know, say they did that with all their best friends. So that's first and foremost, and just kids that can think, kids that can, you know, it's such a fast game now. And if you can't think and you can't, you know, anticipate what you're going to do with the thing before you get it, then you're probably not going to be successful. So, kids that can think and play fast, and then obviously kids just want to be a part of what we're doing.
So, Coach, you're on the road 28 games. You just said you're building some things. So Here's what I ask every coach. Character or characters? Which do you mean by your comments? You want kids with character. Do you want character or character? You know, you got to have some stories about being on the road where there's some characters.
That's a good analogy, if you will. It's both, for sure, both. I mean, you want to have personalities in your locker room. I mean, look at, you know, right now, I mean, our best player, leading goal scorer in college hockey right now, Johnny Walker, is the biggest character you could ever imagine. He's one of our captains. He's hurt right now, which is not good for us, and hopefully he'll be back here in a few weeks. But he's the epitome of what you just said. He's a kid that lives his life by exuding great character, but he is the ultimate character. So it's good to have that. It's good to have colorful personalities in your room and lighten things up, and that's what we try to do every day. And you know, my biggest goal as a coach is to make sure that every day we're together, it's the best part of our day. You know, we want kids coming to the rink smiling and having fun, and because everybody knows when hockey players are playing their best hockey, they're just having fun. They're playing free. They're not overthinking things.
You know, Coach, we come on and we like to ask the coaches, if you're a young kid, because I think sometimes parents get pretty rigid, a little bit like Jeff, an attorney. I'm a sales guy. There's a big difference between our personalities. That's why we get along some days. And in that context, a literal sense of a character player, those parents can tell the kid, you know, X's, O's, I's, dot your T's, all that stuff, right? And then you tell me a guy like Walker, the last thing he'll do is pick up a pencil to cross anything because he just wants the puck to drop and he's going to go out there and cause chaos and he's going to have a lot of fun playing the game, right? So
the
word character to me is a confusing word because I understand what you mean. You want kids that have a good character, mental attitude, I would call it. But you also want to have players that have pizzazz, and those are characters. So I think it's a really good one to have a discussion over because I think that's sometimes what happens within the context of youth hockey. I venture to guess you have a whole lot of characters
really,
coaching.
That's a really bright
Phoenix
way to look at it. I love how you broke that down, and that's a great way to look at it. And you got to have both. You know, obviously when you speak of character in general terms and good morals and ethics and, you know, all those things and doing the right things when nobody's watching, that's how you define character. But man, having characters is hugely important.
You know, I may be the lawyer and Ed's a salesman, but I don't know how many UND hockey parties we were at and the police were called. And it was Eddie that negotiated our release from the apartments with the law enforcement. So he's the only guy that I know that put a smoke bomb under my dormitory door right before the fireman walked into my and woke us up. But anyway, Coach, you've got a couple kids, local kids, and let's visit about them real quick. Cole Brady, your freshman goalie against Michigan, about seven, the games go so quick, right? About seven days ago, your opening weekend was outstanding. He played for the Fargo Force last season.
He's really good. He's really good. I think Cole is his ceiling is so it's massive. I mean, I really believe we're going to see him in the NHL one day. And what he showed against Michigan, that's the best team we've seen in 5 years. You know, we've played almost everybody. One of the few teams we haven't played is obviously North Dakota, but they were just, I mean, 8 first round picks. They were just like playing the Harlem Globetrotters, and Cole was unbelievable. And his first start was great, and then he started at Michigan State in a 1-1 tie and did really well there. And he'll be going tonight. That's who we're going to have in net tonight. And I think he's ready for the challenge. And you can see it. He wants to get that win. And hopefully he does tonight. I think he'll do really well.
And then you have a kid across the river from us, Carson Kosabud.
Yep.
From Moorhead High.
Yep.
How's he doing?
He's doing well. You know, he's a kid that's going to have to kind of work his way into the lineup a little bit. He played in the first game. We had our top defenseman out. He was serving a suspension in that first Michigan game from last season. And so Carson got some time. He did well. You know, but he's a kid that just his detail and his habits as a freshman, he really needs to focus on in practice before he can be a regular every day in the lineup. But he skates great. He competes hard. He's an unbelievable kid and comes from a really, really good family there in Fargo-Moorhead that we've gotten to know very well. And he's going to be a big part of our future. He's just got to work for it a little bit.
As we're winding down here, Coach, I why don't you let our listeners know who has been in your coaching career or who has really formed you as a coach that you are? Who has been a mentor or someone that you have followed that really has had an impact upon you as a coach?
There's been a lot. I think just from afar, Pete Carroll, for sure. I've always been a huge Pete Carroll fan. I loved how his teams played at USC and his culture, and just they just always seemed like they're having so much fun, and they won. They were just really good. They had a swagger to them that I wanted to try and create at ASU. And so we've modeled a lot of our culture and what we do and how we do it off of things that I learned from reading books about Pete Carroll and his book. And, and then obviously I grew up in Indiana. I'm a huge Bobby Knight fan. I wouldn't say I rule with the iron fist like Coach Knight did, but I'm a big believer in discipline and work ethic and details and habits. And that's what Coach Knight was all about. That's why his teams are always so successful, because he was really big on discipline on and off the court. And that's how we are here. It's we try to run a very, very tight ship and turn young men into men.
What do you think is going to happen this spring with regard to the NCAA playoffs? I always take a look at the pairwise, et cetera. My view is I think the pairwise is going to have really a less of an impact than it's ever had with this shortened season, with the really not having teams go from different conferences and playing. It may adversely affect a program like yours, who is deserving to get into the playoffs. What are your thoughts, Coach?
Well, yeah, there won't be a pairwise. It's impossible because there's not enough data for the crossover for the computer. Nobody's really playing out of conference games. There's a few, but not many, not enough. So what I think will probably end up happening is a committee will choose the at large bids. You'll have your six leagues that get their auto bids, and then I think the NCAA selection committee will pick 10 teams and just kind of like they do for basketball. So it'll be a little bit more subjective than anything, and that's okay. It is what it is. I think that's probably the only way to do it. I'm sure those people will peel back the onion and take everything into consideration when choosing those 10 teams, and hopefully we get on a nice run here starting today and put ourselves in the conversation.
Coach, I think that's probably exactly where it's at. I've got a question here. Just Jeff and I have been, over the past few years, looking and seeing yourself sitting there and seeing how the game of hockey, I mean, you got the Kraken coming. If you take a look at the game of hockey, first it went kind of southeast, then it went south central, kind of went a little bit to the southwest, and now it's going west. So when do you see, or what do you see within the game of college hockey? From my chair, I'm seeing there's got to be a Western division somewhere in here that's actually truly Western, with Alaska, Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, Nevada, when you take a look at that group. Do you sense that that could happen within the next five years?
I do, and I think we're closer to that day now that we have our arena coming. I mean, so our arena got announced, and it's a $115 million arena right on campus, two sheets, 5,000 seats, 20 luxury boxes. It's going to be incredible. And what that will do,
perfect,
aside from our early success, we've had a tremendous amount of success early on in our program, but what that will do will create an environment – we're a revenue sport.
You'll host regionals, Coach.
Well, yeah, exactly. But we're gonna be a million-dollar a year plus revenue sport for our athletic department. And when other schools out west see, you know, the success and the effect that the sport has had on the campus, and then obviously when you're adding that to the bottom line, I think more will do it. And I think people should say and will say, hey, if they can do it at ASU, we can do it here at Oregon or Washington or USC or UCLA or UNLV, whatever it may be. But we do want to be the domino that helps start Pac-12 hockey. That's what we want to see happen, and hopefully it does.
If that Pac-12 hockey starts, watch out. You're going to see a lot of players that would normally go to Michigan and the big schools say, boy, look at this degree you can get. Look at the life you can live. Still play competitive in one of the top leagues in the country and the world. That league would just explode.
Well, Coach,
yeah, it would.
Coach,
it really would.
We appreciate you sticking around. Jeff got you on here a little bit longer, and we appreciate you sticking with us. And I got to kind of throw one at you. We told you we keep it kind of light here. I presently think you probably talk about the pool of number one and the rink number two, and not that far off. You're going to talk about the rink number one and the pool number one. I told Jeff, gave him a bad time earlier. I said, you know, Coach Bowers has a tough time. He's got to send pitchers around the pool recruiting kids to Arizona. Now he's going to put the pitcher of the rink up there, and they're going to kind of scratch their heads and say, I'm not sure which one we need.
Yeah, right. It certainly doesn't hurt. We miss the weather right now, being out in the Midwest for this long. But our boys are playing, and they're happy, and they're playing the game they love, and that's what matters most.
Well, you take a kid that played in the Saskatchewan Junior League for the Humboldt Broncos, next to Prince Albert, next to the Tundra for a winter. It would have been nice going down to Phoenix and playing for Arizona State. Trust me, the weather would have a huge impact.
Well, Coach, we'll let you get on with, I'm sure you got some pregame stuff going. So, hey, do well. Tell your kids to go win. And we'll get you
awesome.
Back on
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No,
appreciate
thank
time.
You. Yeah, thank you very much, that. Coach.
Take care.
Well, just listening to Coach Bowers, you can see how his leadership, his mentality in forming that team and putting it together has been really the keys and the glues to that program, Eddie.
And Jeff, I kind of hit on it, and I thought it was interesting. I call it a nervous laugh when I said, okay, you talk about character, and then you add the S. So obviously what he's going through, being on the road, there's got to be some things that he's scratching his head and just, especially with COVID going on, telling his kids, hey, be smart and make sure that you're not the cause of not having this season continue, so to speak. So we'll be back after the break and we'll get into a little bit of the discussion. But again, I thought it was interesting that Pac-12 hockey. I mean, you talk about the Pac-12, you've got a pretty big opportunity and maybe the savior for what's been a really big challenge, which is those Alaska schools.
Pac-12 hockey would be a domination. And we'll be back with Hockey Guys right after this.
Yeah, put down your chips and drink. Finish that beer.
Well, I'm going to jump over there and grab my beverage and my chips if you don't give it back. Hey, let's have a conversation here. Got the vaccine. Do you vaccinate the college athletes so the we can get college
hold
sports
on, hold
back
on.
Together
hold on,
and
hold
the
on.
Fans
Jeff,
in the stands?
Hey, hold on a second. I told Jeff. We know the healthcare workers are going number one. For the mentality of the country, wouldn't you incentivize people to show up to watch sports by giving a vaccine to get into stadium, just like you have to take a vaccine to get into school?
Are you trading up? No, that's a sports pun. Sorry.
No. Huh?
That's terrible.
What do you think?
Say going number
honestly,
one.
What do you think?
It's interesting, I think, because, I mean, myself personally, I'm a little bit skeptical on any type of vaccine at this point, but, you know, if it gets me into a Vikings game or, you know, a Gopher game, there's a good chance it helps out a little bit.
We're talking Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor,
hey,
Michigan.
Yeah, no, listen, we brought
on a college campus.
we brought
you want to have 110,000 people show up to get vaccinated. You don't have to go sell this thing. People are going to line up 2 days in advance in the parking lot, and by the time the game starts, you know that everybody's safe.
No, hey, we brought these two guys in. Here I am all week listening to radio commercial about these guys shutting off our mics, talking about Minnesota hockey. I mean, come on. I mean, there's a reason why we brought these knuckleheads in.
Jeff obviously doesn't respect the judge, does he?
No.
The gavel's hammering and he just keeps talking through it.
Starts swinging it.
James, if you took a vaccine just to go see a Vikings game, I think you'd die in another way with that team of yours.
Probably, but you know, I've been doing it for my whole life and I'm going to live and die with them. That's how I roll.
Die with a broken heart.
Hey, go to Gophers game, you get 2 free hot dogs. But for $10, you get 2 beers, 2 hot dogs, 2 hamburgers, a back rub, foot massage, and a vaccine.
I'm in. That sounds like a good thing to me.
That may be the first opportunity to fill 3M Mariucci Arena. Because they could bus in the fans.
Oh man.
They'll even put us up in a hotel.
That works for me. Any way to get me there, honestly.
When you take a look, and in all somewhat jokingly seriousness, when you take a look at they're doing everything they can within the game of college hockey. I've spent a lot of time watching a lot of different games. Yesterday, football, you take a look at it's amazing how accommodating every league has been across the world to give people a mental break to have something to do instead of zero. So I'm saying a little bit in seriousness, the vaccine and trying to get people to accept, I think sports may become part of that equation. But I don't know if anybody's talking that sports could drive it faster than healthcare telling you what to go do, James.
I completely agree with you on that.
So now I'm Dr. Fauci saying, James, go take this shot. You shake your head. I know you. You shake your head and you say, I'm not listening to authority. Just think if that same AD says, hey, fans, to make sure everybody's protected, we're giving away flu-free COVID vaccines before the game. And, yeah, I mean, watch what happens to the world.
Well, look at you. If that happened at UND, you would have 18,000 people get the vaccine on Friday and another 18 on Saturday. You too, how much is that? 36,000?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then same thing with the Gophers, you probably have 250. So, you know?
So for a couple of hockey pucks, you know, that being Jeff and I, coming out of a school where, you know, the only thing I will compliment on is that I shot a guy from Minnesota, Micheletti, a little text asking him who wrote his ATC coming out of Kitzville. And I never got a response, but at least I wrote my own ACT, and I know Jeff did as well. These college things where these people are going away for writing their kids' tests.
Was that in what sport?
They paid to get them, you know.
What sport was that?
That was like fencing or
rowing.
They made up something.
It's a sure good thing they didn't. Good thing hockey's not big enough to be investigated.
Yeah.
And then I heard on this commercial that you guys like the Gophers because of their long history.
No, that's just to be clear. That's those two.
Yep.
That's not me.
He's a Southern Dakota guy.
How many national championships?
2 or 3.
Does the Gophers have?
Or like 4? You know, round up.
What are the two programs that have the top?
Now here's
Denver and North Dakota.
Here's a little thing that came to light this week, and again, I'll give credit where credit is due. Mess Myers wrote a little article down in Minneapolis, and he mentioned that Sammy Walker, one of the leaders, and most people aren't aware, Sammy Walker was born in Fargo, North Dakota. So every time that those Gophers end up with the guy north of Grand Rapids.
See, why do you always got to bring that
in? Hey, north of Grand Rapids. Hey, hold on. I'm tying the show together if you're listening all out. You have to have characters. I think Sammy Walker is a character.
I think Eddie's the character.
If you read the article, you need to have characters. Characters bring about chaos, and chaos creates change, and change creates championships. And I'm not sure where you come from, Jace, but take a look at that connection.
South Dakota.
Take a look at that connection.
I will.
Oh, well, you're listening to the Hockey Guys from the